Well, you may notice that I don't have my Bible or anything up here because I ain't speaking today. Everyone's like, hooray. Actually, real quick, just about last week, I asked everybody to, over the 7 days, which would have been from then to now, to find somebody that would be like your accountability partner-like kind of person. We talked about this during Hyperlink, that you can talk to and be open and honest about everything. That's going to give you good, godly, spiritual advice. And I'm hoping that a majority, I'm not going to ask you guys to raise hands or whatever, but I'm hoping that you did that. And if you didn't do that, take that seriously, because in terms of like what I spoke about for 3 weeks, sexual temptations and stuff like that, to have somebody to go to and to help you in that area specifically is invaluable. And actually, I have kind of two people that I go to. One of them is Josh Harris, and the other one is Sean McNeil, and he is going to be speaking for you guys today. So give it up for Sean. Come on up, bro.
Good morning. Does this thing feed back if I go too far that way and that way?
Yeah, I'd stay within the TVs.
Okay. How's everybody doing this morning? I feel like most of you are over here, and there's some of you over here, so I'm going to turn like this. Jason and I have become accountability partners. I've been here about a year and a half, and we work together on staff, so we're always together all day. And accountability partner does not mean, hey, dude, did you see that chick? Wasn't she hot? You know, like, that's not accountable. Like, I mean, just making sure we clarified what accountability means. Do you get what I'm saying, Kendra? Okay. All right. I'm just saying. All right. Anyway, guys, I just want to share a little bit from my heart about a subject that's passionate for me, and that is worship. And I don't know, the Lord laid it on my heart, and I think it's one of those things that I don't think people really understand fully. I think people think they understand worship because that's what they do in church. We worship. We hear a message, and then we go home. We eat. We watch the football game. So I think a lot of people's misunderstanding of worship stems from the fact that we don't have a whole lot of time to address what worship really means. And so I just want to take the next few minutes and share with you a little bit about worship. I want to kind of define it the way I see it and the way God's word shows it to you. I'm not really using too much scripture this morning. I'm really just going to speak from my heart, from experience. But I wanted to talk a little bit about what worship should look like. How many of you guys have been in a worship experience that was like really, really memorable to you? Like where you remember worshiping and you remember being intimate with God? You can raise your hands, okay? Don't feel bad if you don't raise your hands. Not everybody's experienced worship in a deep, deep level. You know, when I was a little bit younger, I used to lead youth camp worship. We'd have like 1,000 teens, and we would have some awesome times of worship. And mainly, the reason why was because when they came to camp, they had a whole week to do nothing but think about God and finding a girl from another town where they could get her number and be pen pals, okay? I know that's the other reason you go to camp. But no, for real, the thing about camp is that you have this whole week where you're able to just focus on God. And so what happens is you get into an experience where you get, everybody heard the term spiritual high? Anybody been on a spiritual high? Okay, I've been on spiritual lows too, but spiritual high is when you go to camp and everybody talks about Jesus and everybody loves Jesus and everybody wants to sing about Jesus. And so you have a spiritual high, and a lot of times we have those worship experiences, and I'm not discounting those. It's awesome. But we're not called to just worship God on spiritual highs. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you just have one worship experience a year, and like the rest of the year you don't really get into worship, you're missing out. You're missing out on what God has for you, and I'll tell you why. Basically, this is what worship is. Take singing out of the equation for a second, okay? Worship is when we admit that we are small in comparison to Christ and God the Father, and as we acknowledge what it makes him big in our eyes, and, excuse me, as we acknowledge him, it makes him bigger in our eyes, okay? I wrote these notes, so I'm trying to read them. And we are then able to just fall into his presence, okay? Worship is really created for us more than it was for God. Do you understand what I mean? Can anybody give me why they think worship was created for us versus created for God? Yeah, that's good. But do you think God needs us to tell him how great he is? No. God's not on an ego trip in the sky. God's not like, hey, I'm God. You know, like, come on, worship me. That's not what God gave us worship for. God gave us worship so that we could put our perspective correctly. Do you know the, I'm getting ahead of myself here. So basically what I wanted to address with you guys is that when you come to worship, like this morning I was kind of observing you worship. I know you didn't know it, but I was watching you guys while the band was working hard. I mean, they work hard every week to get ready for worship and present you guys with music that you guys can worship God to. And they're your peers, and so sometimes you don't take them serious, but these guys are doing a great job. Let's give them a hand, huh, for your friends. The bottom line is they don't do it for that. They don't do it so you get a clap, but they're bringing you an opportunity to connect with God on Sunday mornings, just like we do in the bridge. But the bottom line is that we need to come prepared to worship. And what that means is worship's not one of those things you can just switch on and off like an off and on switch. Okay? You know, Brittany may have had a bad morning. I'm just saying, Brittany. I don't know if I did. I'm not prophesying here. Okay? But bottom line is you might have had a bad morning and you come with a chip on your shoulder and then the band gets up to play and you're like, whatever. It's like, whatever. God, who cares? You didn't come through for me this morning when I was looking for cereal and I couldn't find Fruit Loops. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you come in with like a chip on your shoulder and then you're not really ready to participate in worship because your heart is like over here and God's way over there. You know, that's how it feels. And so a lot of times we don't really come prepared. So it says, if you're expecting to meet with God, he will meet with you, is what I've written down. If you come thinking about what you're going to have for lunch, the Browns after church, or why your boyfriend won't text you back, then you're probably going to miss the entire experience. I'm going to make a t-shirt I came up with. Jesus didn't text, neither should you during church. Okay? That's my new rule. All right, I'm just kidding. No, but I see you guys out there. I know I'm playing and I'm worshiping, but I do watch. Not that I'm watching you, but I can't help it when you're talking to each other and you're texting and you're doing stuff like that because it is distracting. And I'm not like coming down on you. Yes, I am. No, I'm just kidding. I am coming down on you because I want you guys to experience worship to the fullest. I'm not coming down on you because I don't want you to talk to your friends. I'm not saying that you do it. I'm not calling Kendra out because there's a lot of, I'm not calling anybody out in particular. Kendra's starting to cry. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying, but I know, you know who you are. You know how you come to worship. You know what you do in the bridge or here on Sunday morning. And so the reality of it is there's two reasons why texting and talking during worship is a problem. One, you're missing out on the experience that God has for you that morning. He wants to meet with you and be intimate with you. Number two, you may be distracting Lexi. It's not hard to distract Lexi. I'm just kidding. But bottom line is, you may be distracting Lexi from an opportunity to meet with God that morning. Who wants to be there on Judgment Day and be guilty of distracting other people from worshiping God and spending time with God? Okay, now I'm being a little bit ridiculous. But I'm just saying, okay, there are some really serious reasons as to why you don't want to distract people while you're worshiping. All right. And then the other thing here is, what's the whole point of worship? Okay? I said earlier that worship is not for God. Worship is for us. What's the biggest lie that Satan has told humanity? I'll give you guys a second to think about that. What's the biggest lie that Satan has told humanity? What's the first lie that Satan told humanity? Exactly. Well put. We can be as God. Okay? If you eat of that fruit that God told you not to eat of, your eyes will be opened and you will be as God. Okay? So the biggest lie that Satan gives us as human beings is that we actually matter. In the meaning that we have a right to do what we want, be who we want. We're our own God. Okay? Do you know the Bible tells us that we are called vessels of clay? Basically. That's where the band Jars of Clay came up with their name. Basically, we're earthen vessels. We're just the potter who is God made us to be a vessel. We can either contain the spirit of Antichrist or the spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. That's what we are. All we are is vessels. So as worship instruments, our whole purpose, our whole reason for being is to have a relationship with God. And so worship was created for us to keep things in perspective because here's the thing. If you're worshiping God, what are you admitting? Let's think it through. If Satan told you that you could be like God or you are God, your own God, but you're worshiping God, what are you truthfully admitting when you worship? That you're what? That you're not God. Okay? I mean, I know this is really simple, and this is like, I'm almost making it too simple, but that's the reality of it. When you come to worship, You're admitting, hey, God, I'm not you. You're great. You're glorified. You're worthy. You're holy. I'm not. I'm a human. I'm a sinner. I've failed you. And when you worship him, you're putting him on the heavenly throne of the universe. Not that you're putting him there. He's already there. You're just acknowledging the fact that he's there. And so what that does for you is it helps you, as you go through life, realize that you're not God, and it keeps you in the proper relationship with God. Who thinks they can do a better job running their life than God? Oh, good. I was afraid hands were going to go up. But no, I'm just kidding. But the reality of it is none of us can do a better job at running our life or ordering our life than God can. And so when we worship him, we're putting him up, and we're saying, okay, God, I surrender. How many of you, you know, some people like to raise their hands during worship. Anybody like to raise your hands? I do. And really the reason why is, you know what raising your hands is a sign of? When somebody goes like this, what are they doing? Yeah, they're surrendering. When the police come, yes, officer. Okay, the bottom line is you're surrendering, okay? That's what you're doing. And when you worship and you got your hands raised, a lot of times I'm like, hey, God, I'm surrendering to you. I'm surrendering my will. I'm surrendering my desires. I'm putting everything at your feet, and I'm admitting to you that you're God and I'm not. If I'm left to myself and I'm to my own devices, I'm going to mess things up. So that's really what worship is to me, is it's a time where we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And those of you, if there's somebody in here that is not a believer and you don't believe in Jesus and all this is just crazy talk, then I don't blame you for not worshiping. But if you're someone who believes in Christ and you believe that there is a God and that you're not him, then worship is a time for you to come together and put him on the throne. So basically here it says, it puts things in perspective. When you realize that you're not God, that you need him for every breath, then you'll worship in a different way. How many of you would be honest enough to admit that you're guilty of just coming in half-hearted, not really thinking about what you're doing here at church sometimes, and worship's just kind of, eh. Cool. Can I be honest with you? Sometimes I have those days. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you, okay? This is all of us. I mean, there's days where even me as a worship leader, I have to prepare my heart before I come to church so I can lead you guys and lead the rest of the church in worship. You know, it's not an easy thing to do because Satan throws distractions at us all the time. You know, this morning my wife was getting ready, and girls take longer to get ready than guys do. I'm not going to lie to you. This is not hard to take care of right here, okay? But the bottom line is that, you know, the stress of Sunday morning, and once you guys have kids and you have to dress two other people on top of that, so I dress the other two kids. I'm not like patting myself on the back here, but I'm going to do that just for a second. Bottom line is my wife takes longer to get ready than I do. She's got makeup. She's got to curl the hair, all that stuff. So I'm getting the two kids ready and myself ready. I'm like, I got to speak to the kids. And I'm not practicing for the bridge, but I got to go up there and practice. So, sometimes I could be frazzled. So I had to stop earlier while you guys were worshiping. And I'm like, all right, Lord, you know, help me focus here. You know, help me deliver something to these guys that's going to mean something to you, that's going to help you change your life, you know. And I don't ever want to preach at you. I just want to tell you what I feel, because like worship is a passionate thing to me. Because I have had those times, and I've had them in the bridge, where sometimes I forget that there's anybody even out in the crowd. And like I'm literally just like in God's presence. You guys said you have had some experiences where you've been in God's presence. Give me, if you're willing to, give me some things that you felt when you were in the presence of God and you knew that you were connecting with God in worship. Anybody? Give you another second to think about it. When you've been in God's presence, Katie? Small. That was mine. Dang. I do feel that way. Have you ever been on a mountaintop? Have you? No? Have you ever been at the beach, the ocean? Okay, either way. I feel this when I go either place. When I get on a mountaintop and I hike to the top of a mountain, in Virginia there's this place called Peaks of Otter. We used to hike up these peaks and we'd get to the very top and you just look out and as far as the eye could see, it was just rolling hills of trees and mountains. And it was just like, I felt really, really, really small, you know. And I thought, even more so, you get in an airplane and you look down on those mountains and they look small. And you could see the cars at the bottom of the mountain where you parked at the, like, nature trail. And five or six of us fit in each one of those cars. You know what I'm saying? And then we realize, And I think the world revolves around me. I think the world revolves around getting the kids breakfast and coming to church and you know, all the things we go through. And they're just like microscopic in God's eyes. You know, in Proverbs it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. I think God was telling us something. Basically, we're an ant in comparison to God the Father and the universe. I mean, we're teeny. And yet we think, we believe the lie, Josh, I know you've believed this once or twice, that you're your own God. Like, you make your own decisions. You make, you know, and the thing is you got to put things in perspective. And that's what worship's for. Worship is to put us in perspective and, you know, not in a mean way, but in a loving way, letting us know that we are small, but letting us know that when you're small, that God has you in his hands. And there's a protection aspect there. When you're in God's presence, nothing can harm you. I mean, God has you right there in his hands. And so I feel small too. That's what happens to me is I feel small, and it helps put my ego in check and make me realize that, you know, you're really nothing without the breath that God puts in your body. You know, God gives you every breath, the Bible says. You know, some people don't wake up the next morning. That's God's choice. We are just vessels. So, you know, really the main two points is that it's for perspective. Worship is to let you get into God's presence, realize how big he is, how strong he is, how powerful he is, worship at his feet. I mean, the reality of it, what ticks me off, and this is just a side note, but what ticks me off about Christians is that we believe in the most powerful being in the universe. We believe that that powerful being has a desire to know us personally and intimately in worship and times like that, prayer, reading our Bible. And yet we get more excited about the Cleveland Browns. I mean, seriously, they only won 4 games. The Lakers, Larry? Dallas Cowboys? Losers? No, Patriots are on a different level. We're not going to touch the Patriots right now. All right. I'm the one with the microphone. Okay, so, no, I'm just kidding. But the reality of it is this. We get more excited, guys, about, okay, I'm trying to think who you guys like to go. What kind of concerts do you guys like? Like, what bands do you like? Jonas Brothers? Don't even get me started on that. All right. Sorry, no, I'm just kidding. You can like the Jonas Brothers. That's okay. They're cute with the curly hair and all. All right. But if they weren't brothers, never mind. But the bottom line is, sorry, I didn't mean to get off track because I want to wrap it up. But we get more excited about the Jonas Brothers. We scream like little schoolgirls. Even Logan, when he goes to concerts, screams like little schoolgirls. I know. But the bottom line is, why do we get so excited about stuff that doesn't mean anything? You know what I'm saying? And isn't it kind of funny how Satan has got us so screwed up in the head that we look at other human beings on stage and cheer and scream for them like they're gods? I mean, you ever been to a rock concert? You know, everybody's going like this and lighting the fire, and now they're, you know, got their cell phone out and they're, you know, doing all this stuff. I mean, and over what? Over a song that's going to be over in 3 minutes. But yet, when we come into worship, isn't it kind of funny how we're like, no, I already told you, I'm not going out with you. You know, I mean, like, you know, I mean, like, you get what I'm saying? I mean, is what I'm saying making sense? Yeah. Okay. And bottom line is that only you can control that. You know, I can't control that for you. I can only try to lead you to God's presence, but I can't control it for you. Really, it comes down to your heart. It comes down to where are you, not only Sunday morning, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I mean, it's a relationship with God. I mean, if you didn't talk to your girlfriend or boyfriend for an entire week, and then you want to come together and, well, you shouldn't be getting intimate. But bottom line is, I mean, to be intimate with that person and spending, you know, quality time, okay, it's just not going to happen. I mean, it'll happen a little bit. But, like, the thing is, we only sing 4 songs on Sunday, okay, typically, 4 or 5 songs. By the time the third song's over, you're maybe just getting into the spirit, like that feeling where you're getting closer to God because it took you 2 or 3 songs to kind of check your heart and get right and, you know what I mean, like get other things off your mind. So all I'm asking you guys to do, and it's really for your own benefit, is if you come to church, before you come to church, take some time and say, you know, Lord, I want to get something out of our relationship today. I want to meet with you. I want to have a time with you that changes my life. Because at the end of the day, when we walk away feeling small, something should happen in our life. There should be some kind of a change that takes place where because we have our perspective correct, we then change our behavior to line up with God. You know what I'm saying? Worship should be kind of like a mirror in a way, too, where it kind of shows us where we failed God and where we need to get right with God. And if you guys will bring that attitude to church or Wednesday nights or wherever, I know Wednesday nights are hard because you come in red and blue and you all just thinking about gladiator games. But the bottom line is when you come to church, you should have the perspective of, I want to get something out of my relationship with God today. Because it's really for you. God doesn't need you to tell him how great he is. You know? He's not a big ego trip, like I said earlier. So the bottom line is it says if we don't do it, the rocks are going to cry out. That's what the Bible says. If we don't worship God, the rocks will cry out. I mean, he has all of nature to worship him. Everything he makes is beautiful. Everything he's created is awesome. I can't wait till I'm perfect, because when I'm perfect, I'm going to feel a whole lot better. It's like, God is perfect. He's got nothing, no negative feelings about himself. He doesn't need us to tell him how great he is. It's for you guys. So when you come, you walk away changed. So does that make any sense, what I said? I mean, I hope it helped you this morning. I really care about you guys. I know it's hard. Life's not easy. There's a ton of distractions in life. But if you'll do what I'm telling you to do right now, it will change your life. It'll change your perspective on God. It'll change your relationship on a day-to-day level. Because really, worship, even more than singing, like I said, it's being a living sacrifice to God. Worship's a daily event where we die to our flesh and our sinful nature that wants to do the wrong thing, and we live for God. That's our goal. That's our reasonable act of service, is what Paul the Apostle calls it. Is if we die to our flesh and let him live through us, that's when we have communion with God, because he's living inside of us, he's active inside of us, and that's what worship's all about. So let's just pray real quick. I appreciate your attentiveness, giving me the opportunity to speak. I really did this. Jay thought it was for his birthday. I really did it for you guys, to give you guys a break from Jay. Oh, no, just kidding. So happy birthday, Jason. Happy Valentine's, Jay and Val. 6.5 years it's been. It's great. So Jay's a good example to follow. And I know he cares about you guys. And, you know, he had asked me to come speak. And that's really why I'm here, is just because I care about you too. And I want God to be active in your life. And the only way he can be active in your life is if you let him be. He's a gentleman. He's not going to push himself on you. So it's really a give and take relationship, is you have to have an open heart for him to be able to work in it. So